Lord, we want more of you. And we know that you give us as much as we'll receive. So it's really a matter of we want you to have more of us. We recognize that when we have Jesus, we have everything. Even if our possessions are nothing. But even if we own all of this world and we lack Jesus, we have nothing. So Lord, I pray that you would just move today in our hearts and increase our capacity. Lord, that we would give you all of us. That you, Holy Spirit, wouldn't just be resident of our life, you'd be president of our life. May we be people possessed by God, fully filled and overflowing. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've mentioned before how God gave us a word several years ago about he's going to do a new thing. And he did a new thing. And he's revived that word. He's doing something even more new. And that's the great thing about God is he continues to bring more and more. Amen. Here's the truth is you can have as much of God as you want. That's the truth. You can have as much of God as you want. But when God moves the kingdom of heaven to earth, he calls upon his people to prepare. He calls on his people to prepare. I know the Lord is doing amazing things in our city and in his church. But you can't sit in the pew and say, well, the church ought to do that. No, see, we are individually must be prepared. So I'll talk about that a little bit today. Luke chapter 3, you know this passage of scripture. God is about to move heaven to earth through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he sends a forerunner before him. How many of y'all grew up in the 80s? How many of y'all grew up in the 80s? Some of y'all 80s kids. Y'all remember the song, the theme song from Dukes of Hazzard? Straighten the curves and flatten the heels. Amen. Oh, Waylon Jennings, hot dog. Chapter 3 of Luke. You're thinking, where is this crazy preacher going with that? Well, John the Baptist comes with this word. Verse 4 says, as it is written in the book of the words, Isaiah the prophet, John the Baptist says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. What's that next word? Prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill brought low. What'd I tell you? Dukes of Hazzard theme song right there. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. Amen. When God wants to move heaven to earth, he calls upon his people and says, you need to get prepared. He calls on his people and says, prepared. This is the message John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus, the herald that says, come, get ready because he's coming. The king of heaven is coming to earth. Get ready, he's coming. And so he says, you got to get prepared. Are you ready? If God were to move mightily in this house right now, would you be ready for him? Would you be ready for him? So I'm going to read it one more time. Verse 4, as is written in the book of words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. I got a couple questions for you this morning. And first question, are you realizing the presence of God? Are you realizing the presence of God? Are you sensing his presence? Do you know his nearness? Are you spending daily time when you know God's with me? Are you realizing the presence of God? This is a question for you to ask yourself. Question number 2, are you receiving the power of God? Are you realizing the presence of God? Are you receiving the power of God? What do I mean by that? Are your prayers being answered? Are things happening in your life that you can look back and say, God did that? I didn't do that. God did that. I asked for that. He did it. God did it. I'm seeing the power of God flow through my life, maybe into other people's lives. You're being able to minister to other people, and God's using you in ways, and maybe to touch your family, to touch your community. Are you realizing the presence of God? Are you receiving the power of God? If you don't like the answer to either one of those questions, could it be that you are not responding to the promises of God? If you're not realizing his presence, receiving his power, then are you responding to his promises? Because his promises are true. James chapter 4, verse 8, it says that we draw near to him. And when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. That's a promise. I mean, you just mark it down. When we draw near to him, he draws near to us. He never lets his sheep come to the trough that he says, sorry, I ain't got nothing for you today. No, the shepherd wants to draw near to us, but we got two little crazy cocker spaniels. They're supposed to be hunting dogs. These little things, they're flush and retrieve dogs. We do bird hunts, and we have two big old fat labs. We had to feed the cocker spaniels in the house because they don't come hungry every day. They just kind of peck at it and nibble at it. Well, I got two big old fat labs that are just devouring theirs. And if these puppies don't eat, they'll devour theirs and somebody else's. Well, today we brought them in this morning and put the food in front of them. And they said, no, thank you. We're full. I feel like so many Christians come to church on Sunday morning and say, I don't really want anything. I'm just glad you let me in the house. They stood there for a little bit. Get your little butt out. You ain't going to just stand here and soak up the air conditioner. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to Bonnie and Clyde. That's my little Bonnie and Clyde. Y'all not going to eat? Well, why are you taking up space? This morning, I noticed we've been having to bring out chairs. Thank y'all for sitting up here in the section where everybody notices you. And then I even mention you so everybody can notice you. God bless you. Well, I know we got people packed all through this room. Amen. Why? Because God's doing something. Amen. Did you come ready to eat? Did you come ready to receive? See, you can have as much of God as you want. Do you want more of him? So if you're not realizing his presence, if you're not receiving his power, then have you responded to his promises? Because his promises are true. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me. That is a direct statement. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You say, well, I kind of sought him, but I didn't find him. Well, the promise is when you search for me with all your heart. Are you giving a half-hearted effort to the Lord and upset when he didn't come through for you? Search for him with all your heart and you'll realize his presence and receive his power. I want to look in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 3. In this passage of scripture, we have three kings that have come together to respond to a threat. The Moabites have come against the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel at this time is a divided kingdom. We have the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. We have Israel and Judah. And then we have another kingdom that comes alongside them, Edom. And these three kings come together and say, we're going to have to address this threat. So they go into war. And as they are traveling through the wilderness, they end up without water. So in verse 9, 2 Kings 3 and verse 9, it says, so the king of Israel went to the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. So this is a crisis situation. You obviously have to have water to survive, and then especially to fight, you have to be able to do this. And so now we're in a situation. So they call the man of God. They call on Elisha the prophet. And verse 11, but Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. So if you ain't picking up, there's a little bit of a tension between Elisha, the man of God, and the king of Israel, who is very wicked. And Elisha said, I ain't got nothing to say to you. But there was somebody else. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called the three kings together to deliver them in the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. That's kind of bold. I don't even want to look at you. He said, but the king of Judah is here, so let me see what the Lord says. Verse 15, but now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played and the hand of the Lord came upon him. I love that. Y'all know how we, by the way, another passage of scripture about King Jehoshaphat, they going into battle and the Lord tells them, send out first the praise team. Send out first the praise team. And when they went to worship in the Lord, the enemy fought each other and killed themselves. Amen. I don't know, maybe there's days in which the war inside you is so strong and the fighting that is going on is so tense. Let me tell you, some of the best things you can do is just worship. The warfare of worship. The warfare of worship. Well, in this situation, he was trying to get a word. Elisha said, I need a word from God. Man, the most powerful thing in the world is a word from God. I mean to tell you, just to get a word from the Lord. When you get that word from the Lord, now you got something to hold on to. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So he said, bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played, and the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make the valley full of ditches. So that's a strange, you got a lot of guys who are parched and dry and have no water. And he says, go dig a bunch of ditches. It was a threat when I was growing up and my grades were not so good at school that mom and dad would tell me, if you don't get your grades up and do good, you're going to do what? Dig ditches. I don't know why that was the threat. I don't know, like there's worse things in the world that you could do. But that was always the threat for me. I had one guy tell me that I was going to be a scuba diver for Roto-Rooter. If y'all don't know what Roto-Rooter is, just forget that joke. But mom and dad said, you gotta get yourself educated so you don't spend your life doing this ditch digging. Well, in this passage of scripture, God says, I want all of you to dig ditches. I want all of you to dig ditches. Now, this is crazy, but they do it. And so as they respond to the Lord and they're obedient to him, they go out and dig this valley full of ditches. Now, it did not rain, but what happened that overnight, God filled the valley with water. And if they had not dug the ditches, they wouldn't have had the water. So not only did he fill the valley with water, but the Moabites come over the hill and they look over that valley filled with ditches of water. What it looks like to them, because the sun's coming over the hill, it looks like blood. And so they see this red puddles everywhere. They say, look, they killed themselves. They killed each other. And so let's go in and just take all the spoils of war. And when they did, they got their backsides handed to them. They got whooped. And so God's army defeated. But what did they first do? They got a word from God and was obedient to that word. And then they said, we got to keep digging. We got to keep digging. Now, you may be sitting here wondering where that's going. I want you to look with me to the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Remember, if you'll remember, he's the prophet. Saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So this woman is now a widow and a single mom, and she is on hard times, has no money. And in those days, if you couldn't pay your bills, you became a slave. And so she cries out to the man of God. And so in verse 3, then he said, go borrow vessels. No, I got to back up. Verse 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere and from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when they have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. I want you to be picking up the spiritual principles that are going on here. You can have as much of God as you want, but God pours out in proportion to your preparation. I'll let that soak for a second, and I'm going to hit you again with it. God pours out in proportion. Everybody say proportion. That's the big word of the day. God pours out in proportion to your preparation. He pours out in proportion. If they had only dug a few ditches, they wouldn't have had enough water for their army. If they had only got a few vessels, then all the oil that they would have got would have been only the amount of vessels that they had, and it would not have been enough. But they said, he told them, don't just get a few, get a bunch. You get a bunch. And so here's the thing about oil. It is a representation, and water, representation of the Holy Spirit. Water represents the Holy Spirit. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Have you increased your capacity to receive? Have you increased your capacity to receive? Are you ready to receive? He will pour out in proportion to your preparations. He will pour out in proportion. So as they received a whole lot of vessels, they were able to, the miracle happened. It just kept coming out of this one little jar, and it filled all of those other jars. And in verse 7 it says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. If they'd only got, you know, it's a little awkward to go to my neighbors and borrow stuff. I hate borrowing things. What if I broke their jar? It's weird when they say, I can't give you anything. You're about to go to debtor's prison. You're about to become slave. Why would I give you something knowing that I'm going to lose it? So it's a little awkward for me to go and ask. And so I'm just going to stick with the two jars that I have in the cabinet. Then that's all you'd have got. Because God's not wasteful and he's not irresponsible. He's not going to pour his spirit out on the ground. He's going to pour his spirit on those who are ready to receive it. He comes in the same proportion as those who are ready to receive. And so, Lord, let us be ready to receive. If we only dig a few ditches and if we only get a few vessels and say, I only need a little of God, then you really don't know him, do you? Because when you know him, you want all of him. Amen. You're not satisfied with a little. I want all of him. I want him in every area. I want him saturating and soaking every facet of my life. And so I need to prepare every facet of my life. Hey, there's some good questions I have for you. Are you realizing his presence? Are you receiving his power? Are you responding to his promises? Well, here's another question. How do I understand the answer to those questions? Well, what will you sacrifice first? What will you sacrifice first? When your schedule gets busy, what's the first thing that you take off of your schedule? I wake up usually about 5 a.m. and I spend the first hour or two just with the Lord. But sometimes, man, I got a full calendar. And let's say, man, my day is packed. You know what? I'm going to have to skip prayer time today because I got all these things that I got to do. Then that must be what I value the least. Or, you know, my week's been busy and my goodness, I do need rest or I need some family time. So we're going to have to miss church today. You know, then that must be what you value the least. You see, I need daily time with the Lord. I need to increase my capacity so that he is able to pour into me. So I need to start my day saying, it's yours, God, and I'm ready to receive. Amen. I need to start my day saying, my day is yours, God, but we're going to start the first hours off with you, and I'm ready to receive from you. Or maybe it's, Lord, this day, the first day of the week, it's yours. And it is priority in my life, and I'm not going to push it aside because other stuff has crowded it out. No, I'm not going to let the world crowd out the kingdom. I want to make sure the kingdom of God is priority in my life. Amen. You can receive. He will pour out in proportion to your preparation. So if God wants to bring a mighty move of God in Athens and a mighty move of God to Sand Springs, you know how he's going to do it? Well, we're increasing capacity. Yeah, there's a building that's going to happen. That building's not the goal. It's a tool. What's it supposed to do? Increase capacity. See, now if we had a building today, y'all could just spill outside the building and just keep going right over the hill. Increase the capacity. But the fact of the matter is, it is that we are the individuals, we are the vessels that we need to be empty so that we could be filled. We need to be present before the Lord, here presenting myself to the Lord. Lord, fill me up. Because if you increase your capacity, you increase your capacity, and you increase your capacity, as he begins pouring out and begins filling us all, that's a move of God. Amen. He says in Isaiah 43 and 18, the passage that he gave us, he said, don't hold on to the former things. No, I'm doing a new thing. Don't hold on to, the deadly words, deadly last, well, how they say that? The what was it? Famous last word? The last words of a dying church is, we never did it that way before. And that's why that scripture says, don't you hold on to the former things. I'm doing a new thing. And then what? See that second song we sing? It comes out of that passage of scripture. And he says, I'm doing a new thing. Shall it not spring forth in the wilderness? Shall the waters not burst forth in the desert? In the area where it seems most unlikely in your life, that's where he wants to pour. Amen. So Jesus comes along, and after John the Baptist says, prepare the way, Jesus comes along and is preaching the kingdom of God. And in John chapter 7, he says, if you're thirsty, come to me. See, he's the fountain of living water. If you're thirsty, come to me, and I will give you living water. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. He said he spoke thus concerning the Holy Spirit. And so, baby, you're here today, and you say, I'm not receiving the power of God. I'm not even seeing any of my prayers answered. Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So if you're not receiving his power, did you respond to his promise? Well, you have an opportunity to do that today. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm tired of pushing aside kingdom things for my own things. I'm guilty of my calendar getting too full and not praying, not going to church. I'm guilty of spending all of my energies elsewhere. And nothing for kingdom is left. I get calls occasionally. Pastor, my schedule's just gotten too busy. The job's changed and this and that and the other. And I know that I was serving and enjoying it, serving in this capacity at church, serving in that capacity. But now I can't because I'm just too busy. And so I'm going to have to not serve there anymore. Really? That's the thing you're going to give up? That's what you sacrifice. Tells me what you value the most. If you say, you know, when I looked over all the things that I do, that's the thing that means the least to me, so I have to remove that. So Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, a new revelation to me last year, illumination, when he said, you know, I didn't say king, I said kingdom. It would be obvious to us that we're supposed to seek the King, King Jesus, that we make him a priority in our life. But he said, not just me, but my work. You make that a priority of your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of those things that you did sacrifice for my kingdom purposes, I'll give them back to you. You don't have to focus on what am I going to eat or what am I going to wear. You don't worry about that. I worry about that. You seek first the kingdom of God. You make that a priority. You make that, you create margin in your life for me to fill you up and see if I won't do it. Amen. God wants you to be bringing your vessel and say, Lord, I'm here. I am. I've created capacity. It's easier to fill an empty vessel than it is to to empty a filled one. It's easier to have your schedule change, put kingdom things in it, if you have already gotten margin in your schedule. See, I don't have anything on any of my calendars for 5 to 7 a.m. That's his time. I don't have anything on my calendar on Sundays. I don't have anything on my calendar for Saturdays. That's my Sabbath day. That's the day where I rest my body, refresh my soul, and refocus my spirit. It's his day. It's his day for me there are some principles. I'm going to be preaching on them soon that we need to apply to our lives to create margin in our lives to say, I'm ready, Lord, just pour out in me. Sabbath is one of them. I need a day in which this is your day, God. And then Sunday, it's the day that I serve the Lord. And it's his day. Amen. It is set aside. It's not an afterthought. You say, well, you're the preacher. You're kind of supposed to do that. Yeah, but you know what? You are the minister of your household. You are the minister of your household, and you know what you need in your household? The presence and the power of God. And you can have as much of him as you want. As much as you want. So what do you sacrifice first when the finances get tight or the schedule gets tight? Is it kingdom stuff? That should be the last thing. Let me just tell you, you don't have to sacrifice because he already says, you put kingdom first, I'll take care of the other stuff. What if they only brought a few vessels? Then they only got a little oil. What if they only dug a couple of ditches? Well, then they only got a little water. So what areas in your life do you need to create capacity and say, no, no, no. No, that's God's. And I'm not going to crowd it out with the world. It's his. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just so fill us up. Fill us up. We want your presence in our life. We want your power in our life. Doing the things that we think is religion in our own strength, all that is dead works. But when your spirit moves through us, it's the power of God. And that's what our families need. That's what our marriages need. We need you, God. Not our finagling, but our faith. Not our manipulation, but our trust in you. And so, Lord, I ask that today that you would increase our understanding of your kingdom principle, that you pour out in proportion to our preparation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.